It's so refreshing to be with Pastor Ben, and you know, I feel that that's why we come, and we just talked for a minute now together, and I said, I'm dealing with a case now where you have a church that's operating, but through the years, it's shifted to like doing our duty as a Christian, like doing our duty and going through, you know, what we're supposed to do. What are some of the things we're supposed to do as Christians, as church people? Pray, okay. Share Christ, evangelize, world missions, you know, go into the mission field, go to church, you know, read our Bible, and so on. And so, like, all of this can be done, and we can do it out of duty and the concept of it, you know, I know it. Or being a pastor. Like, being a pastor is like this, you know. This is how you have to behave, or this is what it is to be a Christian, you know. But I feel that Pastor Ben's ministry to us, and what we all enjoy about him is that there's a freshness, because it isn't the concept, you know. And when we learn to love, like, in a way, I don't care about missions. Like if you're going to approach it that way, forget it. And same with prayer. Like, if that's what prayer is, like, yeah, it may not touch me. That's not, you know, I came out of that as a Catholic. You know what I mean? It didn't change my life. So I just have to be this way. I mean, I have to. I mean, we all want this because, and we live like this because, it's how I'll survive. If I could be a child again, you know, and discover again the joy and the freedom and the ministry, and Pastor Ben does such a good job of just being like a friend, a pastor, hearing fresh things out of the Word, the things that God has showed him through the year or years, and it's just a lot of fun to have him here. So he's going to share with us now.
Okay, thank you. If we didn't work out of the enjoyment of God, if we didn't live out of that joyful experience that Psalmist is saying, he's saying, God, my exceeding joy. If that wasn't our base, I could get a heart attack here right now. I'm standing here in front of people that are among the best taught people, very diligently taught people. Yes, and I could think that, what can I say to you? And my eyes would already be on myself. This happened, you remember, it happened to Spurgeon when he was a young preacher. I believe he was 17. Some of you may remember this better. He went and stood in front of this huge audience, this 17 or so year old preacher. He's looking at the crowd. Was it 1,000, 4,000, like whatever? And he thought for a moment, how can I stand up for this task? He got his eyes off of himself, off of the Lord to himself, and he collapsed. Bang. He went right on the floor. They had to carry him out. So he had a funny thing, because he had to fight sometimes those depressive thoughts. And then he is so high on God, God's wisdom, grace, knowledge, all that. So he was meditating in the garden, and then the releasing thought came to him out of the book of Psalms. Can I have my water bottle? I think it was the other blue bottle. I think it was that one. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So when he opened the book of Psalms, where it says that let God be glorified, and he realized that my purpose is not to succeed as a preacher. It doesn't matter. I can go down flat as long as God is glorified. That's fine. And from that moment on, he was free. But now, there's an interesting thing because we are wired different ways. Let me say this, that when you go to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You go to the four Gospels, and they show the four faces of the Messiah. The four unique faces of the Messiah. It's like the Messiah is the tabernacle that came and tabernacled among us. It is like four views from different directions, from four different types of portions, experiences, and they all correlate, by the way, with the four camps that were around the tabernacle. That all correlates. It all correlates. It has to do also with the four living creatures around the throne, where are those four faces. There's only one thing. It's that image of the Son of God. But we are wired different ways. We have different giftings. We have different callings. Somebody who has like a more evangelistic calling. Now, we all evangelize. I love sharing the gospel. That's one of the things I love. But I'm not one of those guys that have these big nets and there's a dragnet. I'm going like one-on-one fishing. Like that kind of... I love airports because in airports you get excellent opportunities. I carry small booklets and just, you know, when the Lord leads us, you know. It's amazing how many people are interested when you do it out of joy. Okay, so we all evangelize. But there are some that have specifically that gifting to be on high platforms and preach. And that's amazing. Every minister of the gospel, every pastor has their own portion how they bring it about. Some are more into like searching for the word. And we all share, we all do the same things, but in a different manner with a different face. So I think one of the reasons why we can get into a burnout, I went through a burnout around age 20, 3-year burnout, because I went into every discipleship school I could find. Pastor Schaller was the one who bailed me out by grace message. I already was a Bible school graduate, and I was burned out by discipleship. But it's not discipleship itself. It was more the concepts of it. I was living up to a concept, not knowing that I was trying to live up to a concept. And my eyes were on my own resources, myself. Having some spirit-filled experiences, I was actually part of the charismatic moment and a hippie moment. You know, the Jesus moment. And it wasn't like a Pentecostal moment, but we saw a lot of healings. We saw like people that came loaded, their veins loaded with LSD and just... In a second, they were straight, and we saw lots of miracles. We were hanging out in parks till 2 o'clock in the morning and witnessing. But what was lacking was the ministry of the word. Body life was there because we were all living for the kingdom of God and for one another, but. It was a lot of flesh. I should say a lot of self-effort. Not living. No, we had no smoking, no drinking, no drugs, but it was a lot of it just working on self-effort. So living to a concept, I have a lot of experience that what that can do. So that's right. So it's like in sports. If somebody is a short distance runner, he can't be the best in long distance. He can do a little bit of everything. We can do. I actually believe that everyone is not a pastor, but everybody should be a pastor a little bit. What does it mean? If you don't know where your beloved is going, go in the footsteps of the flock and bring your little ones. Everyone has somebody they're sharing with, and if they respond, we share some more, and we share some more, and try to bring him. So everybody should be a little bit of pastor, but not a pastor, if you know what I mean, like pastoral work. Everybody should be a little bit of an evangelist. But evangelist is a whole lot of evangelist. But everybody is a little bit. If we walk in the Spirit, we evangelize. That belongs to everyone. But everyone is not required to be an evangelist the way the evangelist is. Pastor Sibeli has very long steps. He has very long steps. Mine are shorter. I can't stretch that far, but boy, I appreciate that. Pastor Sellers' world vision. World vision. Oh my goodness, how we are blessed by that. But he not only has a world vision, he has a word vision. He has up vision. He has this vision. He has this vision. So when we find what is our fishing tool? How? Then the Lord puts us exactly in a place where it fits for the benefit of the body. The member is not for the member. Member is for the body. And body is not for the body. Body is for the head. I love the way that, I think it was Watchman said it, that Ephesians is more about the body of the head, and Colossians is more about the head of the body. Those two books, oh my goodness, I can't even go that direction. It's so awesome. Those high mountain peaks. So we find our place. Like in Jerusalem, Wednesday, when it's a Wednesday afternoon normally, I take a few people with me. We go to a coffee house. There's a particular garden coffee house, which is run by Christians. So it's an open coffee house, and all kinds of people come there. We just take a table, and the pastor of the place told me that you can come anytime. You can do anything here. It's fine. This is good. Keep doing it. So that's good. So we just sit down. And we start a rap. We start sharing the riches of God. And there's somebody at the next table. They look at us and they say, "Can I join you?" Sure. Let's grab a chair. So the way it works where we are, we have a standard crew. You know what is a sailor's church? Sailor's church used to be like, you got a standard group, but most of the people, when the ships come, the people come. They stay for a while and sailors come, and then there is service for them. No beer, but service. They come to church, they learn, those that want to, and then their ship goes and they're gone. We have a similar thing that we got people from South Africa that come. Oh, we have one precious lady whose eyesight she has a particular eye condition that she doesn't have a focal point in her eye. So if she wants to see you, she looks there, she can see you here. It's a very peculiar. But Poi, she is so hungry. Every time she gets a visa, she stays a few months and then go and share, and we go through the Word. And so we have like standard people, smaller, and then we have those that come for a particular time, and they listen, and they are hungry. And then we have Wednesday. It's a similar thing in another place. Again, we got the standard people, and then we got the add-ons. And but I just think this life is amazing. Let's go to Song of Songs a little bit. The Word. Sometime we said that in the holy place, we have the Word of God, the rich showbread. And in the most holy, we have the God of the Word. We really have the God of the Word. So it turns into that silent worship and a still small voice. The Word, in Greek it is logos or rhema. Rhema, as they say here in the West. In Hebrew, it's davar, which means word and a thing. And then the word midbar is word, and then there is mem in front of it, midbar. And when the prophets went to get a word, John the Baptist, they were often in a silent place in the wilderness to shut down the noises of the word world, the noise of their own hearts. Our hearts have a lot of noise. The young generation has a difficulty with these devices, to put those devices down, shut down the noise. This is the noise generation. We need that stillness of the desert to meet the silent word. But then there's one another place where it's the word. The Holy of Holies, in Hebrew, that has a, there's a term for it, which is devir. Devir is the speaking place of God. It's also the same davar, the same word is there. The speaking place of God with the still small voice. So we can meet that stillness wherever we are. I remember many years ago when we went from Lenox in a car to a place called Framingham. And I said to Dr. Stevens sometime, do you have a seat? You want more place? Oh, yeah. Come on. And at times, particularly before he would speak, oh my goodness, he just would sit still. And he wasn't intimidated if he didn't say anything to anybody. There's a false responsibility, and this false responsibility can drive us nuts, that we should be instantly there for everybody. When God moves, we should be there for people. We should not spare taking up the cross. But the first thing about the cross is that we are there for God. So to hear him, to find that quiet place in our hearts, to hear him, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Let me say one more thing about the Aramaic that, okay, 1 Peter 1, chapter 1. And I hope I'm not stepping on any stones of any great scholars like Kenneth Wiest or anybody else. I'm only going to say what the difference is and leave it up to you. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 1. What am I talking about? 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm really mixed up. Chapter 1, verses 17, 18. "For he received from God the Father." God the Father. Wow. "Honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And then a Greek-based text says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Many people have drawn the conclusion that, aha, when we read it with the eye gate, this is more sure than what we received by the ear gate from heaven. So this written is stronger than, more sure than what we heard. Let me tell you something. Aramaic is the language of Peter. What he said in Aramaic, the word "more" is not there. It says, "We also have a sure word of prophecy." Now, if you think it's more sure, that's fine. It's no issue between us. It is not a cardinal doctrine. But what he said from heaven, and they heard it, is not the same what some people floating around say, "I heard this." No, this is not the same. This was God the Father directly speaking out of heaven. And it was certain word. But it is confirmed then by the written word. And it's both are very, very sure. And I am also quite sure we need a break. But thank God we can... In this generation, devil is working overtime to kill the hunger for God. He uses terrible things, terrible movies, pornography, a certain type of rock, whatever, psychedelic drugs and rock concerts. And he uses different things to kill the hunger for God. To kill the hunger for God by noise, and also try to twist our imagination away from the purity. There's a baptism of filth on all the earth. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit to really hear His voice to prepare our hearts for the bridegroom and to hold our testimony. And then to keep what we have, that no man takes our crown. It's grace. Amen.